Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
We have been talking about George Orwell and his novel 1984 in our last couple of programs. Today, we are going to go back to the actual novel and talk about some of the themes and ideas in 1984. And maybe if you know these themes and ideas, you might be able to apply them to modern life.
Yeah, you might indeed. I think it's interesting because as you get older and you get the right to vote, you're going to be able to vote your own leaders of your country in, and you're going to be hopefully active in your government. And I think it's good to know the pros and cons of different styles of government, and that's what Orwell was trying to focus us on. He wanted us to be warned of the dangers of giving power to just a few people. I think it is wise to keep the power of your government in the hands of the people themselves. We should be able to vote whether we want freedoms or not. So we're going to talk about some of the themes in 1984 in particular and why Orwell thought it was so important to write about these particular themes.
I think these themes actually are very applicable to modern life, and I think you better pay attention as we read the entire content of today's lesson right now. The main theme in 1984 is the dangers of totalitarianism. When 1984 was first published in 1949, many people were praising communism as a government based on the will of the people. Orwell wanted to warn readers that terrible things could happen if any government gained complete control and its power went unchecked. Frequently, as was the case in the Soviet Union and fascist-era Spain, the rights and freedoms of individuals had become irrelevant. In the novel, the party has no trouble psychologically breaking down Winston with fear and torture to remold him into an ardent supporter of the state. Orwell also explores the concept of government propaganda. In the fictional state of Oceania, the Ministry of Truth dominates all information. By doing so, the party subjects people to only one point of view, its own. Throughout the novel, the party is able to manipulate the minds of citizens and arouse public anger against anything that poses a threat to its sovereignty. Like Orwell's other works, 1984 also contrasts the lives of the rich and poor. While most of Oceania's citizens are subject to abject poverty, members of the inner party, like O'Brien, live in luxurious apartments and have servants waiting on them hand and foot. Orwell suggests that in totalitarian societies, the needs of the small ruling elite will always outweigh those of the masses. Although 1984 was published over half a century ago, it still serves as a powerful reminder against corrupt political regimes.
Okay, everybody, let's get started. The main theme in the book 1984 is the dangers of totalitarianism. That is a very long word, isn't it?
How many syllables does it have?
Totalitarianism.
I counted 8. What did you get?
I had 7. Totalitarianism.
Okay, well, however many syllables it has, it's a real tongue twister.
Crazy.
Totalitarianism, and that, of course, is the state of a government or governing system to be totalitarian, which means they control everything. Only a handful of people control pretty much everything. I would call North Korea a totalitarian state.
Oh, yeah. One of the important things to remember about totalitarianism is that they not only control everyone completely, you cannot oppose them. You can never rebel against the government. You cannot oppose them. There is no free speech. If you speak out against the government, they'll arrest you and throw you into prison or worse. So it's really kind of a tough situation to be in. Even the leaders are in danger of being killed by others who want the power. So it's really a bad situation to get into. Well, when 1984 was first published back in 1949, a lot of people then were praising communism. Oh, they thought that was the way to go. Communism is a way of organizing a society where the government owns everything. that's used to produce your goods and products for your economy. They own the land, they own the oil, they own the factories, they own all the companies, they own the ships. There is no privately owned property at all. You can't own your own apartment. You can't even own your own car.
Mm-hmm. I guess if you read Marx's The Communist Manifesto, communism actually might sound like a pretty good idea, but in practice, nobody really seemed to get it right, okay? But in any case here, many people were praising communism at the time. They kind of thought, well, you know, World War II was a result of all this capitalism and stuff like that, and so maybe we should try communism instead so we don't have to have these big, terrible wars.
Well, perhaps it might work if every person in the world were a good person. But
true.
The problem is nobody wants to just be equal with everyone else. If someone to your side is not working, why do they get to have as much as you do? There are problems with that system because not everybody is willing to work hard.
And everybody thinks they're smarter than the average person. That's true.
Yeah.
So, yeah, how are we going to work this out, everybody? But at the time they thought, hey, let's give communism a try. And they thought it was a government based on the will of the people. It was for the people, and so the people could be an active member of the government, and nobody would be looked past, or nobody would be overlooked, I should say. Everybody would be taken care of. Well, Orwell wanted to warn readers that terrible things could happen if any government gained complete control and its power went unchecked. So, yes, you can't let people take total control of the government. You've got to have people checking on the government. If something goes unchecked, that means there aren't people there monitoring it to make sure it's doing what it's supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
If the government does things and nobody seems to, rebel against it, that's wrong, at least according to Orwell.
Well, frequently, as was the case in the Soviet Union or the USSR, in fascist era Spain, when it was a fascist country, the rights and freedoms of individuals had become irrelevant. So we're using these two countries as examples. If the rights and freedoms of individuals become irrelevant, it means nobody cares about what you want. Nobody cares about your rights. Nobody cares about your freedoms. All that matters is the government and the government controlling everybody else. The problem is with these systems is that the government isn't just the people. The government is controlled by a very few, right?
Mm.
Those are the elite. And they start telling everybody what they must do. And you can't rebel against them. They're in power forever unless they die. So it's kind of a tough situation. So irrelevant, again, just means not important. If you're in a class, maybe a music class, and somebody suddenly wants to start talking about math, your teacher might say, I'm sorry, but that's irrelevant. We're discussing music right now, which means your comment has nothing to do with the topic at hand.
Or if you're going to the Juilliard School and everybody's talking about Bach and Beethoven and somebody says, hey, I think we should talk about Michael Jackson's music, someone might say, oh, that's irrelevant. That's savage, really awful music. We should be talking about Bach and Beethoven and Mozart and stuff like that. So what you said is not applicable. It's irrelevant. We're not going to pay any attention to you. So in Spain, they thought, yes, if people have rights and freedoms, they don't need them. It's irrelevant. So we don't need to talk about those things. Of course, everybody should obey the government, and they should not make their own decisions.
Well, in the novel, the party has trouble psychologically breaking down Winston. Remember, Winston is the character in the book that we follow. And if you break someone down, you get them to give up their ability to fight or to resist. They just give up. If someone's torturing you, you tend to want to get the pain to stop. So you'll do whatever they want you to do, right? Psychologically means having to do with your mind. So they're able to start controlling people's mind. How do they do that? Well, they use fear and torture. So they break him down so he's unwilling to fight or resist, and then they start to remold him. If you remold someone, you build them up again, but in a way that makes you happy. You sort of influence him to do the things that you want him to do and not what he wants to do.
Right, so they're not just going to torture him and execute him for being a rebel or something,
uh-huh.
A bad apple. They're actually going to try to remold him to get him to think the way they want him to think, They want to remold him or reshape him into an ardent supporter of the state. Ardent here just means enthusiastic, 100%. You are a total supporter of the government. You will no longer entertain thoughts of rebellion.
You could use ardent to talk about someone who has really strong feelings about something or towards someone. Maybe you know someone who loves animals. You could say, oh, she's an ardent animal lover, which tells you immediately she just loves animals. Well, they want him to love the state or the government. Remember, he used to rebel against them, and now they're trying to reshape him or remold him into being a big fan of the government.
Absolutely. And we'll continue talking about 1984 in just a couple of seconds, but it's time right now, everybody, to listen to our Chinese teacher. Again, I would like you to listen very carefully.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tina. 在今天文章的第一句就告诉我们，其实1984的主题就是 totalitarianism, 指的就是极权主义的危险。在第一段的第三个句子提到 Orwell wanted to warn readers that terrible things could happen if any government gained complete control and its power went unchecked.他要提醒读者的是呢，如果政府他是完全的掌控，而且他的权力是没有人可以来检视他的时候呢，那么可怕的事情 terrible things could happen 是有可能发生的。下一句 frequently as was the case in the Soviet Union and fascist era Spain, the rights and freedoms of individuals had become irrelevant.而呢，以苏联联邦跟法西斯时期的西班牙为例，所以在这里提到了 as was the case in 这两个地方。在这两个例子当中就看到了个人的权利跟自由都后来变得无关紧要。Irrelevant 指的是不重要的或者是无意义的。而呢，正因为呢想要集权然后控制人民的思想，在小说里面呢就用一些恐惧跟折磨的手段来重新改造我们的主角。所以在第一段后面就提到 to remote him into an ardent supporter of the state, 重新的改造他，让他成为这个支持国家的狂热分子。在这里的 ardent 就可以解释成为热烈的、忠诚的的意思。
We're going to take a short break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Let's continue with our lesson, everybody. Again, we're talking about the themes in 1984, or rather the main theme, the dangers of totalitarianism. And Orwell also explores the concept or the idea of government propaganda. Propaganda usually is information that the government publishes to let people know that they're in charge and it tells them how to think.Propaganda could include all sorts of things, movies on TV, posters all over the place, statues of your leaders all over the place. I guess back in the days of Chiang Kai-shek, when he was in charge of Taiwan, propaganda was all over the place, posters, movies and stuff like that. You had to love the state or else you were in big trouble.
Well, in the fictional state of Oceania, the Ministry of Truth, thatparticular department in the government dominates all information. If you dominate something, you have control over it completely. So they kind of tell you how to think and what's right to think and what's wrong to think. By doing so, the party subjects people to only one point of view. Notice this word subject isn't the verb form of this word. The noun form is a subject, kind of your topic or your theme, butThe verb is very different. To subject someone to something means you force them to go through or experience something that's kind of unpleasant or even harmful. So what is it that they're forcing the people to go through? Well, they're subjecting people to only one point of view. They can only listen to one point of view. Your point of view is a way of thinking or looking at something. It's your viewpoint, your perspective.
Your point of view, your take on things, how you see things. And so the party subjects people to only one point of view, its own. In other words, they only give you one choice, the choice that the party is giving you. You must believe in what the party believes or you are in big trouble. Now, throughout the novel, the party is able to manipulate the minds of citizens and arouse public anger against anything that poses a threat to its sovereignty. This is a pretty long sentence. Throughout the novel, in all parts of the novel, the party can manipulate the minds of citizens. To manipulate means that you use something or someone in your favor or to your advantage. We don't like to be manipulated by other people. People might try to be friends with you in order to get, you know, a position at your company or something. I thought you were my friend, but you were just using me. You were manipulating me, using me for your own purposes.
Yeah, so you're trying to control that person in a very selfish way to get what you want from them. I know some girls and even some guys who try to manipulate their boyfriends or girlfriends to get what they want from them. That's really a bad thing to do. Of course, you have to be strong so people can't manipulate you. And if you see people trying to do that, you should walk away from them immediately. Well, the party or the government that is controlling these people, they're able to control or manipulate the minds of citizens. They control the way these people think. They control their viewpoints or their perspectives. They also arouse public anger against anything that poses a threat to its sovereignty. So the party really has a lot of control. And what they do is if they see something they don't like, they get the whole country to become very angry about something. Now, why do they do that? Well, they want that anger to control anybody who's rebelling, I guess. If you pose a threat to something, it means you're creating a possible danger or a problem for something. I could use an example here. Because of all the motor scooters and the cars in Taipei, smog poses a threat to our health. All that bad polluted air is bad to breathe. Mm. But they're afraid of people who are rebelling against the government posing a threat to its sovereignty. Your sovereignty is just a country's independent authority. It's the right country has to govern itself. You'll often hear countries, especially little small countries, become angry that they're losing their sovereignty when big countries like China or the U.S. or even Russia try to come in and control parts of their country.
Right. Various countries are always complaining about other countries trying to meddle in their affairs. You should not bother us. You should not bother us with our sovereign nation because we're sovereigns here. We are the ones in charge, and you guys should stay away. So here, the government is in charge, and so these people in the government are afraid that people will pose a threat to the government's sovereignty or control, and that's why they want to manipulate the minds of citizens to get them to think the way they're supposed to think. And like Orwell's other works, 1984 also contrasts the lives of the rich and poor. Contrasts, that's the verb here. That means to compare things that are extremes, to contrast life in the country and life in the city, for example. Compare these extremes here. And, of course, rich people and poor people live very different lives, don't they?
Yeah, if you're in college sometimes, the professors will ask you to write a paper where you compare and contrast a certain topic. Show what's alike between the two of the things or what's different between them. So be ready for that once you go to university. Here he's just trying to contrast the lives of the rich and the poor. Show what the differences are. Now, while most of Oceania's citizens are subject to abject poverty, they're forced to go through this. Abject poverty, abject here just means extreme. So if you see that word, it means extreme in front of it. So extreme poverty. They're also subject to members of the inner party like O'Brien being able to live in luxurious apartments. Oh, that's not fair. So they're sort of seeing the worst of the world. They have poverty in their lives, but they're also looking at members of the party who live in rich places like these great apartments and have servants.
Yeah, they're not supposed to. These are the leaders who are saying, hey, we're all equal in this country.
No.
Of course, that's what Mao Zedong said. And how was he living? He was living with like big swimming pool and a nice big house and stuff like that. And I think Chavez in Venezuela was doing the same thing. And various presidents of various countries, the presidents of the United States are no exception either. So, yes, indeed, the inner circle there were living like kings, while everybody else, they were not living so well. And so this is something that I guess Winston in the novel observed. And of course, these are people in the inner party living in these luxurious apartments and houses and estates and mansions. They've got servants waiting on them hand and foot. What exactly does that mean, to wait on someone hand and foot, Stephanie?
It's to provide everything they need or want. Oftentimes, we'll talk about parents who wait on their kids hand and foot.
Exactly. Now, Orwell suggests that in totalitarian societies, the needs of the small ruling elite will always outweigh those of the masses. If we're talking about the masses, we're talking about the common people, everybody else in the country. And in this sentence, we have the verb to outweigh. That could mean somebody's heavier than somebody else. I know a guy who's quite a bit shorter than his wife. His wife actually outweighs him by 10 kilograms. So if they ever got in a fight, I'm sure the wife would win. But in any case here, outweigh in that sense means to be heavier than somebody. But in this sense here, it just means that they are always favored. They will always have the advantages over everybody else. They'll always get all they want and everybody else will suffer.
Yeah, so they're greater than someone else in either value or importance or weight. You can use any of those with that particular verb, outweigh someone. Now, although 1984 was published over half a century ago, a century is 100 years, half would be 50 years, so over 50 years ago, it still serves or acts as a powerful reminder against corrupt political regimes. A regime. It's kind of an interesting word. It comes from the French language, so it's kind of cool. Regime is a form of government. That's all it means. You could talk about a socialist regime, a communist regime, a military regime, just a particular kind of government. And if it's corrupt, it means people in power are taking money and in exchange for favors, people are bribing them. They're being dishonest in their position of leadership, which is too bad because we need our government leaders to be honest.
Indeed. I understand that the government of Mexico is quite corrupt. For example, people are taking bribes all the time down there. And so that's what corrupt means here. And regime, that's an interesting word here because I have taught students here. It's got that really tricky je sound in there. I've tried so many times to teach people how to say this. It's just an SH sound with a sound in your throat. Shh. That's all there is to it. And no matter how hard I try, sometimes they just keep coming out with J. Regimes. Regime. So I guess if that's the best you can do, hey, I'm happy with that. Don't worry about it too much.
Okay, everybody. It's time for our Chinese teacher, and then we'll be back.
在第二段的第一句提到, Orwell also explores the concept of government propaganda. 另外一个提到的主题就是呢, 他探讨了有关于政府宣传的概念。 Propaganda 说的比较清楚一点, 指的就是政府或者是组织呢, 为了要影响人民的意见的一些虚假的宣传。 所以宣传运动就可以说, a propaganda campaign, 或者有时候有一些电影呢, 为了要传递政府的宣传, 它就会被用来当作宣传的用品。 所以举个例子来说就可以说, the film was later used for propaganda purposes. 而呢, 在这里, 政府是如何利用宣传的概念来掌控所有的资讯。 在这一段的最后一句提到, Throughout the novel, the party is able to manipulate the minds of citizens and arouse public anger against anything that poses a threat to its sovereignty. 在整个小说从头到尾呢，你会发现党都能够操纵人民的思想。我们用了一个动词 manipulate， 指的就是操弄或者是操纵的意思。举个例子来说，She accused the party of manipulating the figures， 指的就是她指控该政党呢操控这些数据。你在这个小说里面会看到他们操纵公民的心态，然后引起一些呢大众的愤怒来对抗。Anything that poses a threat to its sovereignty， 只要是任何威胁到统治权的事物，它都能够激起众怒。在英文里面 ，pose a threat to something 指的就是对什么造成了威胁。The dispute poses a direct threat to peace， 这个争议对和平直接造成了一个重大的威胁。下一段的第一句 ，Like Orwell's other works。1984 also contrasts the lives of the rich and poor. 还记得我们昨天提到他为了要亲自感受去住在贫民窟里面，所以在这样子的小说当中呢，他就把 the lives of the rich and poor 有钱人跟穷人的生活来做对比。To contrast 就是代表去做对比的意思。有时候如果把 A 跟 B 拿来做对比，你就可以说 To contrast A with B。 后面提到 Orwell suggests that in totalitarian societies, the needs of the small ruling elite will always outweigh those of the masses。他提出这个想法，就是认为在这种极权主义的社会里面，少数执政精英的需求常常是会比大众的需求还要来得重要。动词 outweigh 指的是比什么重要，比什么有用的意思。最后一句 Although 1984 was published over half a century ago, it still serves as a powerful reminder against corrupt political regimes. 虽然这个书籍已经超过半个世纪前就发行了，但是它还是提醒人们要注意腐败的政权。最后一个字 regimes 指的就是政权跟政体的意思。
Thanks for joining us, everyone. We hope you get a chance to read this very, very classic book, 1984 by George Orwell.
You know, Stephanie, I'm inspired. I might read it again. Sounds like a good read.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's all from us here at English Digest. I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.